For my birthday this year, I got a little fitness tracker thing. I asked for it. It wasn't like a subtle hint or anything. But this is actually my third one. I went through a bunch of them before I actually found one that I really kind of liked. The thing about the, does anybody else have one of these? Raise it high if you're wearing it right now or if you have one. Yeah, okay. It's a big club that we're all in and the rest of you aren't invited. So these, it tracks all sorts of things, and I love being able to quantify this kind of stuff. It tracks, not only does it just tell the time, but it tracks your heart rate, it tracks your the number of steps or stairs that you do, the calories burned, even your sleep quality, which then goes to a little app on your phone and you can look at it. And I love looking at the sleep one because I know that the father of a 7-month-old has a different looking sleep tracker than most people, and it's, you were up for a half an hour at 1 o'clock and at 4 o'clock and then at 6 o'clock, and so it looks a little different than a lot of other people's, but I love being able to quantify this kind of thing, and it can give me sort of a value of what I've done during the day. It sets a goal for me as to how many steps I'm supposed to take in a day. A couple days ago, I get this alert on my phone from the app, and it just said, it's not looking good for you to make your goal on number of steps today. And I felt bad about it. It was just written so human-like that I was like, sorry, buddy. You know, and I got mad. I just, I won't let you down tomorrow. I'll do it. So Sunday, I was, or Saturday, my plan, I'm going to do it just because I felt bad for little smart fit thing here. So, I said that at night on Saturday night, or Friday night, and then I promptly forgot about it on Saturday. And just went about my day, I didn't look at it all day, and so then at night I was getting ready for the sermon, and I go outside and I pray, and it's quiet outside, kids are asleep, and I go sit on our porch swing, and I just sit out there and I pray, and I spent a long time out there yesterday, and I just I felt so wonderful, and just was God was leading me to go sit down and write some things down. And I got up and I walked a couple steps and it beeped and it said, you reached your goal on your steps. And I went, I did? And I couldn't figure out what it was. I found out later, because I was on the porch swing, it was counting these. So what I love about it now is that I can just say to Lori, I'm gonna go exercise for a while and take a nap on the porch swing. And I can get a number I can really boast about. I do like quantifying things. I find my value, personal value, is boosted if I hit a goal or something like that. It's funny what we put our value in, our self-worth in. It's these little things. And just as kind of a quick test of what that might be for you, just imagine that somebody says a dignified guest, somebody who is really impressive, your favorite movie star, political figure, whatever, maybe not political figure, somebody is coming over to your house in 45 minutes, what is it that you are most worried about that they see? What is it? Is it a dirty house? Maybe that you're not properly dressed for it? And I will tell you what mine is, because I know this just immediately, it's my lawn. My lawn has to look perfect. Does everybody know how I got my lawn, by the way? It's a secondhand lawn. I got it when they were getting rid of the sod out by, what is that market? Major Market over there in Denny's. They were getting rid of it, and I pulled up my beat up truck and I said, what are you doing with all that? And I just took it and I made a puzzle on the dirt in front of our house, and it's lawn, and I'm so proud of it. We were able to make this thing actually grow, and God is good, and we have a lawn now, but when people come over, this thing has to be perfect. I see my neighbors, I see their it's like robotically trimmed edges, and it looks so perfect, and when somebody's coming over, it doesn't matter who it is, if Lori tells me somebody's coming over, I'm going to be outside mowing the lawn until they come over. And she comes up and she says, it's 9 at night, nobody's going to see it, or nobody is going to care. And I say, but it's important to me. And somewhere along the line, I learned that my worth as a man, my value comes from proper landscaping or something. And we all have these things like that, right? And I will tell you this, that nobody has ever mentioned how manicured my lawn looks. Nobody has ever come over and said, wow, you must be something, Brian, because your lawn looks great. You know, that never happens. And for so many of our things, you know, that's pretty much the case. All the things that we worry about, what if people see a messy house or the kitchen isn't properly clean? You know, that really doesn't have anything to do with our value. And as much as we say, you know, it's for our guests, it really has to do with us, doesn't it? I love our scriptures today. I wish that we could be talking about Abraham, but I kept on feeling led to do the Mary and Martha one. It was funny, though, as our congregation is getting older, how many people had that experience of terror as God said, you will have a baby at 80 years old, Sarah. Yeah, it was not an exciting, joyful thing anymore. It was a little bit of fear. I love this reading today, this Mary and Martha one. And a couple of things just hit me right at the start. It's got to be true. First of all, I believe that the Word of God is all true, but this story in particular smacks of true authenticity, because if you were writing a book and you were faking a holy book, you wouldn't put a story in like this. This is just such a goofy story to include in something that is supposed to be so holy, and that's why it really speaks to the authenticity of this story. This tale of bickering sisters makes it into our gospel this morning, you know. And the other one that I've been thinking about like that lately is when Jesus heals the blind man by spitting in the mud and then putting it on his eyes. Like, that has to be true, because who would put that in there if you were trying to make this up, you know? And then when the guy says, I see men, but they look like trees walking. That has to be something that he experienced and then shared with the people that wrote the gospel later. And I love this story of Mary and Martha, because you know that Martha, and probably especially Mary, told this story throughout the Christian community for years and years and years, and that's how it made it into the book. The other thing that hits me right at the start is it says that when Jesus went to this town, Martha welcomed him into her home. Two things there. One, Jesus is the big deal of the day, okay? Jesus is coming around and doing these incredible healings and these works of mercy and miracles and teaching. And you know that a lot of people wanted him to be there and be in his presence. And so for Jesus to accept this invitation is a big deal. For Jesus to accept this invitation is a blessing to Martha. But the other thing that's kind of interesting is that it says that it's the home of Martha. This is a very patriarchal society that we're dealing with here, and no patriarch is associated with the name, which means, more than likely, Martha's husband has died. Jesus is entering the home of a widow. And I think that shows his great compassion and mercy, that he's offering this blessing to this family who's gone through something very difficult. And so this thing that begins as a blessing seems to have kind of taken a different turn. You know, when I'm mowing the lawn, I did this week. I will be truthful about this. I mowed the lawn before Sam's cousins came over, and it was so hot. It was the night of vestry, and I did this at like 1 o'clock, and at vestry I was still sweating. The whole time I was just angry that I had to be mowing the lawn. Nobody asked me to do it. So here I am trying to bless other people, and then it becomes a burden unto itself. So often our blessings turn to burdens. What happens there? I think it's when it goes from considering the value or the worth of our guest, or the value or the worth of the thing that we're doing, to considering how it affects us. I have to imagine that with Martha, she was saying, you know, I get to serve Jesus. And as she started to focus on all of the details and all of the stuff that she had to do, all of the busyness, it turned to, I get to serve Jesus. And I think as she starts to do all of it and she becomes more and more resentful, she's thinking, I alone have to serve. And I think that we all understand that pattern so much as blessings become burdens, become resentment. And it's at that moment when we start to think about it not as the value to our guests, but what it says about our own value, our own worth. This began as a gift, and then it became about what Martha can provide. And it must have gotten so bad because she invokes the guest to say something to her silly little sister here who's not helping out. Can you imagine how embarrassing that must have been later to be like, did I really ask Jesus to yell at my sister for not helping me cook the meal? It's such a weird moment, and Jesus just stops her and says, Martha, Martha. When it's twice like that, it's a big deal. Amen, amen. When he says that, Martha, Martha. You worry about so much stuff, but your sister, she's found the one thing. The one thing. The scriptures are all about the one thing. Think about that theme over and over. Jesus, what is the one thing I must do to inherit the kingdom of God? What is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God first, but in order to it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength first. Sell the field to get the pearl of greatest price. There's always that seeking after the first. And I think the key that Martha forgets here is that her value and her worth has nothing to do with the meal that she can provide. And as soon as she started to think that it did, that blessing became a burden. If you are looking at yourself, or you are looking at what you do to provide your worth, you find your value in something that you can accomplish, it will always become a burden. Your value comes from one place, and that's at the feet of Jesus. Your worth comes from Him. You are a child of God. Bought with the greatest of price. You are so loved of God. So valuable, not for what you can bring, but because of whose you are. That's the one thing that we should be after. So what else are you putting your value in? How else are you calculating or quantifying your worth? Because it's always going to become a burden. Until you remember that your value comes from the fact that you are a child of God, that you are invited to sit at His feet and to be loved as His child. Be welcomed into the kingdom and held in His grip. And you are so valuable because of whose you are.